Off the Ball. GAA.
I think as well, the big thing with obviously trying to stop David Clifford is you have to try and stop the source, and the big source of that is obviously Paddy.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Now, this Saturday afternoon, Semple Stadium is going to play host to the All-Ireland semi-finals in the Camogie. Galway are chasing back-to-back titles this season for the first time in their history, while for Kilkenny, they haven't been to the final since 2022. There's also a derby in the second game where Tipperary will go up against last year's beaten finalist Cork, unbeaten in the Championship so far this year. But the three meetings this season have been well shared between the two rivals. We've had one win each and a draw. So we've got Galway and Kilkenny 4 p.m. on Saturday, Cork and Tipperary at 6 p.m. Rachel Sheehan is going to be alongside Aisling Maher of Dublin with us for punditry on Off the Ball this Saturday. We've got former Cork and Dublin player Sarah Donovan with us as well. Rachel, Sarah, welcome along.
How are you?
Good, good. Well, I'm sandwiched between two Cork people here for this chat in the weekend to come. But this has been interesting. Like, one of the things I like, Sarah, is we've reached the semi-final weekend. I was chatting to Niamh Rockett yesterday and we said, you know, it's been great. We haven't had to debate scores, controversies. We can actually talk this year about the semi-final and focus about what's going to happen on the pitch this weekend.
Yeah, I ended up at a county board meeting a couple of weeks ago and my protest against the score went against me. The whole county board voted against me on a thing I was looking for. And I went, maybe I did go too hard last year on the scores. So, yeah, it worked out for the girls, but it didn't so much work out for me. That'll be my last time going to a county board meeting.
I'm not going to bury the lead here. So what were you trying to do with the scores at the county board meeting then?
I wasn't trying to do anything with the scorts. I was trying to get something else through. Oh. But obviously, an elephant never forgets. And my protest last year obviously lingered long in the minds of the Cork County Board. And when the vote went to the floor, the six of them voted against me.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, they will argue that's democracy for you manifest in that moment where they remember the conversations of 12 and 14 months ago.
Yeah, it didn't feel very democratic at the time. So that was my last experience of the Cork County Board. I think I won't be going to another meeting again.
Right, okay, fair enough. We can definitely bury the scores at this point when it comes to that. Rachel, we were sitting up in Croke Park for the quarterfinals a few weeks ago. Just give me your broad overview of how this championship has worked, because it has been the big talking point so far. So for those who maybe aren't familiar, we had a Tier 1 and a Tier 2 essentially in the senior championship. The idea in theory was that we'd make for more competitive games, particularly in Tier 2, but it meant all the teams in the first group were assured of qualification. Maybe that was good news for Tipperary, while Kilkenny came out tops on the other side of the draw, and they're the last Tier 2 team who are standing at this stage. So what have you made of this format switch up for 26?
Well, I was glad to see them make a change, first of all, Will, because it was clear that something needed to be done, because absolutely no team benefits from either hockeying aside or being on the receiving end of an absolute hockeying. So I was really glad to see them make a change. I wasn't sure how it was going to work until we kind of reached this stage, because it's by the time we see these results. I'm a really big fan, you know. I think Group 1, the big argument there was that there was going to be no jeopardy. And I understand that, but the fear going into it was teams would play half-strength teams and there'd be a lot of shadow boxing going on and we'd have one-sided results that weren't a fair reflection of those teams at all. But credit to all four teams in Group 1. They've gone hammer and tongs since the first game and we've had some really great games, really competitive games. And then Group 2, like, you need only look at some of the results. There was no hockeys, you know. Everything, it came down to the last day. Clare trying to vie for a qualification. Kilkenny and Clare had their own kind of mini preliminary quarterfinal in the second last round. So personally, I think it's been great. I've spoken to a lot of the managers that have said it's worked great for their team. Others, maybe not so much. I know, look, I don't think he'd mind me saying, he's spoken to me about it before in post-match press conferences, but Eugene Foody of Clare said it probably worked against them a little bit. But I think maybe he was more aiming for the fact that the teams in Group 2 had played five games in 6 weeks, and then they didn't have any time to rest before the quarterfinal. So maybe if you're looking at just stretching them out to have one more week of a gap so they get a little bit more rest, fair enough. But you're never going to please anyone when you change a championship structure. But I think what you have to look at here is who's benefiting the most. And all of the teams in Group 2 had very competitive games, so they're all benefiting. And did the teams in Group 1 really lose out because there was no jeopardy? I don't think so. They're all, you know, they're doing well. Waterford might argue against me there because they're not in the semi-final stages. But I think this is best case scenario. Sarah, I can totally open to be proven wrong here.
The floor is
I'm
yours,
in agreement.
Sarah.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, Rachel. My one argument for change would be that it would come forward to maybe April so that the players in tier two who are playing five games on the trot would have a period of maybe 2 to 3 weeks, not so much April, even May, but just a period of 2 to 3 weeks where they can reassess and be ready for a challenge like Waterford or Tip or Cork or Galway, depending who ended up in that quarterfinal next year, just to give them a bit of breathing space because it was back-to-back. That's my only, I suppose, concern about it is that, like Eugene said, the players probably didn't get a time to recover. It, you know, from Waterford's point of view, they played Cork in Páirc Uaireann on the Saturday, Sunday, actually, and were out the following Saturday against Kilkenny. Very physical game against Cork. Players weren't fit for one reason or another, and the six-day turnaround didn't suit them, and Kilkenny ended up being the better team and ended up marching into a semi-final. So there was jeopardy in Group 1 and there was jeopardy in Group 2. So to my mind, I'm with Rachel. I think very successful first trial of this. I hope to see it next year. Kilkenny will obviously be top four next year. Waterford will be unseeded. And this just goes back to commentary I did against in Croke Park, Cork at our Tipperary and Antrim. I'm going to say 2 years ago, Rachel, quarterfinal, Croke Park. Absolutely shambolic. I think Tipperary won it by 20, 25 points. There was no competition there. It was a quarter final. It looked very poor. It was live on TV. That's what the Camogie Association were trying to avoid this year, and I think they have.
I think as well, Sarah. We kind of had a conversation, Rachel and I, about the hurling earlier this week on the power rankings, and it's about who a format really serves is important when it comes to this. And like realistically, Offaly coming up out of intermediate last year, goes to the final day. They get their opportunity to play against Clare in what almost felt like a preliminary quarter final. The fact that there was stakes for both Limerick and Dublin going into the last day. Wexford obviously paid the price for the results earlier in the group. But the reality is that those teams weren't taking Hockeyings as they may have done from the teams who were in Group 1 in previous years. Meant that it was a much better championship for those three or four teams. I think we still have the gap between the top four or five in this championship and those who are below. But this format certainly served the teams at the lower end.
I agree. I think when they look back, it's the Limericks, it's the Offalys, the girls that they blooded. You know, the management next year will look at the dressing room and say, well, she scored 2-6 in championship last year. That means the world to us. When we go back to her in November and say, we think you can contribute to this team, it's a very different conversation to, we got hockeyed out the gate against Cork last year. You didn't touch a ball. Do you want to put yourselves in this again? That's what it is about. It's about serving the right groups, and I think it is right now serving the right groups. And the teams in Group 1, as I said, the jeopardy is the fact that those individual players are looking to get their place on the team. They're each individually going to try their hardest to be competitive because they don't want to be dropped. If you look at that Cork setup, very competitive setup, there's 10 players looking to get in, 15 players on the field, they're always going to give it their absolute best. The jeopardy doesn't have to be always on the sideline. It's on the pitch for the players who are trying to get their place, trying to keep their jersey.
The other thing as well, Rachel, you've spoken to Colin Murray a few times during the year, and aside from the question being, is Niamh Mallin going to be fit? When is Niamh Mallin going to be fit? The question mark has often been about some of the younger players that he's blooded and brought in during this year. Well, like, the reality is they have now got a deeper panel than they had previously because they've had a chance during this championship to maybe have a look at some players that they wouldn't have done previously.
Yeah, poor Kyle, like, especially, I'd be like, I saw her doing the beep test now before this game. How's she doing? She's looking well. He, to be fair to him, he's given nothing away. And just before we move on to Galway, I think from an outsider looking at this championship, one of the big things I hear is it's not fair that there's six teams in Group 2 only vying for two qualification spots. But I think with all respect to those teams in Group 2, they're not at that level yet where they could be competing at a quarterfinal spot, you know? So that's it's going to be their aim at the start of the year. But I don't think it's as unfair as it seems from if you were just looking at this as a blanket structure saying, why do four teams automatically qualify from group one and only two from group two? I still think, just in case people are thinking about that, it still works as an advantage to those teams who aren't quite at that level yet. And then look, in terms of Galway, absolutely. Not only younger players will, but for players trying to return from injury. Mm. I mean, we've seen Niamh McPeak coming back from an ACL injury this year. She's player of the match in the last two championship games. And Anya Keane as well has been re-blooded back into that team. So for younger players coming up, absolutely. But also for players who have been out of the game for 12 months or longer, it's great for them to be able to come in, play 10 minutes, see how they're feeling before we get to knock out Camogie.
Yeah, again, Sarah, I don't know whether Niamh Mahon's going to be involved or not. Let's wait and see what happens at the weekend to come. But this Galway team, I mean, it's hard to argue against their pedigree as well, even in terms of trying some new players out. So they come in as the reigning league champions, they come in as the reigning All-Ireland champions. We saw what they did when they brought their level up against Cork in the All-Ireland final last season as well. The reality is that even if there are some unknowns or lesser knowns who've come in, they're very much a known quantity now at this point coming into this weekend.
I think they are defensively so mean. You know, that's the thing about this Kilkenny team that we'll look at in a while. Some very good players, but quite inexperienced. How will they fare against this teak, tough Galway defence? Dervla Higgins, Roisin Black, Sarah Healy in goal. Then you go to their midfield and, you know, pile of running being done. Carrie Dolan, Aoife Donoghue, Ailish O'Reilly was on the scoreboard the last day. It's 7-8 different scores the last day. Sharing the load, Cuiva Kelly, just an abundance of talent. Again, lots of jeopardy because lots of players want to try and get in. Murray Dillon came off the bench to score a point again the last day. There's lots of holes to plug when you're playing against Galway. Lots of players to manage. And you look at defensively, they love to come up the field as well. Mm-hmm. So like Rachel Hanafy was on the score sheet again the last day. She's coming up from cornerback. That's a nightmare for any corner forward trying to manage her and trying to get on the score sheet as well. I think it suited them to have this easy roll into the knockout stages. It has no doubt suited them. But within their own group, they're so competitive. There's so much competition that I think they'll be ready on Saturday to give a big display.
That middle sector is going to be very interesting, Rachel, isn't it? Because it was one of the areas I was really impressed by. Kilkenny against Waterford, like their midfield never ran out of running at any point during that game, and they were really good around the middle of the field. Up against, you know, as Sarah has mentioned there, Galway, who are really good around that area as well. That's going to be an intriguing battle at the weekend in Semple.
It will, and even going further back to that game against Clare, the almost de facto prelim quarter final, Will, they absolutely squeezed the life out of Clare in that middle third. And like you said, full of running, full of skill, and when their wing forwards are coming up a little bit further up the pitch, it is just leaving that space in front of that ever dangerous full forward line. So it's suiting them to pack out the middle because they're getting bodies in and they're winning the ball, but it's also isolating their danger players inside. But to Sarah's point, I do think Galway are incredibly well placed this year because they're the All-Ireland champions, they're the league champions, but somehow because it hasn't had to be knockout, there hasn't been a whole lot of talk about them. Mm-hmm. You know, they've squeezed past Waterford in the league final. Joe, they've gotten a couple of good results in the round robin. They, you know, they lost to Cork, their worst performance that I've seen from that crop of Galway players in a long time. And you can hear that when they speak about it, that they weren't happy with it. But they also didn't have to play any cards away from their chest about how they would set up against a Cork team should they meet later on in this, in the knockout stages. So I think they're really well primed. They showed the last day against Tipperary. When they need to turn it on, they can. 3-17. Do you know what I mean? Like, so they're last year, what we saw from them was mediocre performance, building, and ignited on All-Ireland final day. And I think that's what we're about to see this Saturday in Thurles as well. They're coming at a really nice pace.
Sarah, that almost leans into a prediction here, but given that Galway were able to time their run last year, perform well in the semi-final and then performed really well in the final, does that mean that they already know the route? They've had their little break before the semi-final as well, and we fully expect a big performance against Kilkenny?
Yeah, the nice thing about this is it's in Semple and not in Nolan Park. I think since a deja vu, having it in Nolan Park over and over and over, that will suit Kilkenny in one sense. I do think I think the open space will suit both teams. But Kilkenny are going, this is their seventh game in a row. They've been very successful to date, and obviously Waterford was a big result for them. Lots of things went right against Waterford. But as you mentioned, the likes of Laura Murphy, Laura Green in midfield were unstoppable. They never stopped running. Steffi Fitzgerald, full forward, she was coming out doing a lot of stuff. Like defensively, she was actually stopping Waterford from delivering ball, distributing ball. That takes a lot of energy. And as I said, Waterford, I felt, were a little leggy that day. Galway are going to be so fresh. My concern is that because Galway will be so fresh, this will feel very exciting to them. It'll be like Limerick going after Galway in the men's side of things. It'll see how good a performance can we get. You know, there'll be, I don't think there's a pressure on Galway on Saturday. I think they're really going to go after this one and see where their marker is before they hit a Cork or a Tip in an All-Ireland final.
Rachel, I watched Kilkenny three times this year. I saw them against Offaly and Clare on YouTube, and we saw them obviously in Croke Park a few weeks ago against Waterford in that game as well. Like, their forward line has been flying, they really have, and even they didn't lay up in the Wexford game at the end of it, they decided they were going to put up a big scoreline. But how difficult is it for that Kilkenny, particularly inside forward line, to try and get change out of Galway this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sarah mentioned it already. You've got Dermot Higgins, captain of the All-Ireland club winners, Athlone Rye. It'll be a real sense of deja vu for her, even chatting to Circa McCartan at the media day on Tuesday. The last time I saw a couple of them playing in Semple, it was half frozen over back on the 3rd of January. So, you know, she is, mean is the right word there now, Sarah. Like, you're not going to get any change out of that Galway full back line. We saw it last year in a couple of those brilliant shots that RTE had of the final. They were getting in the Cork players' faces, and you may be sure they're going to get in the Kilkenny girls' faces as well. Now, on the other side of that, you've got the likes of Katie Nolan to come off the bench, who has experience, All-Star. Laura Murphy as well, who has an All-Ireland medal. Like, this Kilkenny side, like any other Kilkenny side in the past, they're by no means soft, you know, but they are going to need a little bit of an extra bit of grit just to stop this Galway team at the weekend. But I'm really, really excited to see Kilkenny that show up, because they've got absolutely nothing to lose. They've been dubbed probably a team in transition for the last couple of years. The last game they lost was back in April to Wexford in the Leinster semi-final, and speaking to Aoife Norris over the weekend, that's still hurting them. They've won every game since, 6 games unbeaten, and they've scored at least 1 goal in every game. The only thing I'd worry about them is if they don't get a goal off early enough, will that momentum drop for them, because they are so used to being able to get so much change out of that full forward line.
Yeah,
the only other point on that, Will, actually, is, sorry, the Waterford full back line was very good the last day, and the Waterford half back line were very good, but Kilkenny were able to shoot from out around the 45, out around the 50, and they got a lot of scores around that 45 mark, 50 mark, and that will combat, I suppose that mean Galway defence. You avoid them essentially because you don't go in there, and that's the beauty of this team. The likes of Aoife Prendergast, the likes of Ash McCarty, Laura Murphy, they were all scoring at will from out around midfield and in towards the 45. And teams don't do that. Camogie teams don't do that normally. So that was a very, I suppose, a very impressive part of their performance against Waterford, was that they were able to do that and deliver from there.
I know you were on the comms that day as well, Sarah. Like, we could be having a very different conversation if Waterford had pointed some of their dead balls there. Like, if some of those frees go over that day, there's a good chance we're talking about Waterford getting ready for a semi-final here. It was very tight margins, wasn't it?
It was. And look, the penalty as well. Beth Carton's penalty goes, you know, left of the post. So unusual. I didn't think it was a penalty. I'd called it that they were lucky to get the penalty first day. But if you get it, you have to put it away. I think there was a number of different things went against Waterford that day. And they had no runners. So Niamh Rocca was obviously sitting in the stand. And, you know, she's the player who's a breakthrough player. She's the person popping up to take the ball off the shoulder. Lorraine Bray didn't actually come out for extra time. And with all that was going on, I didn't even pick it up in the comms. That's how, I suppose, unfit she was, like injured she was. And to have your two marquee players, Niamh Rockett and Lorraine Bray, not in the fray in extra time. Massive, massive issue for Waterford, and ultimately, you know, they lose the game as a result. Not taking from how good Kilkenny were, everything went against Waterford that day. So I think Galway will be a much different test for Kilkenny, and they're not rabbits in headlights. They have an abundance of All-Ireland medals. They're very mean themselves in defence. They do not give you a free shot. Kilkenny are notorious for being cynical in the best possible way. I love to coach it in Camogie teams. You know, she is not getting through at all costs, and we'll all share the load and we'll all end up with a yellow card, but there's no goals, right? But I just feel like Galway have that bit of grit, and I think because they've been away from the limelight in the last 4 months, they're going to love live TV, Semple Stadium, Saturday evening, Championship Summer. It's made from.
Are you leaning in a similar way on this one, Rach? I mean, it's game of the weekend, this first one, but what way are you calling it?
Exact same. And like, we've seen this Galway side win without having to score many goals as well. You know, they've got shooters from outside, especially when you see the likes of Ailish O'Reilly coming back in. She'll just take those points all day long. So I do see Galway edging this. Maybe I suppose I said it on breakfast this morning, so 6 or 7 hours later, can I change my mind? I did say Galway by 5.
You're entitled to change your mind. I mean, you could have got some information in the time since that's changed it. But no, I think be consistent is the key when you make predictions like that. So we're all kind of expecting Galway to come through in that first one. But obviously, Kilkenny can put it up to them. The other one, Sarah, look, Cork, again, how can you argue with the record? 100% in the group stages of this. I know, obviously, they have that defeat against Tipperary in the Munster Championship. But it's just kind of coming to the crescendo for them as we get to semi-final weekend as well, isn't it?
It is, and I had been in Parkirin to see them, say 4 weeks ago. I was in Semple Stadium for the game against Tip in the Munster Championship, so this would have been the Munster Camogie semi-final. Pulls apart in terms of their setup. The day against Tip in the Munster semi-final, they were god-awful, and they won't mind me saying that. Tip were exceptional. Tip wanted that win in Semple Stadium. They went at it as if it was an All-Ireland final. They drove at Cork. Cork had no answers for them. Tip played a plus one. Surprise, surprise. Now, what I would say is Caoimhe Mar did her ACL. She was the fulcrum for them that day. Not having her in this game is a massive issue for Tip. Losing your centre back. I think it's a big issue for them. But that day against Cork, Tip answered a lot of questions, and you know, they still had players to come back into it at that stage. I was really impressed with them that day. But when I saw Cork against Waterford 4 weeks ago, much different team, much more cohesive, much more organised. Ashling Thompson was back. Udave Fitzgerald, wing back, did very well. Amy Lee, Libby Coppinger, Izzy O'Regan, Laura Hayes, I'm naming household names. Saoirse McCarthy was back to her best. Saoirse McCartan was inside, got some savage scores over the shoulder. And then Orla Callan, like, very busy. Sorry, Amy O'Connor. Like, I'm naming household names here and I'm reaming off. And this is a team that's had 14 players leave their panel from last year. How quickly they've managed to re-establish themselves as a very formidable unit. And I'd be excited for Cork. My one question mark is over the centre-back spot, which is Maeve Murphy at 6. This is her first year there. My understanding is that she played there for UCC for the Ashburn. They won it. She was very consistent, and that's why they've moved her into that role. There's a question mark there because this will be her toughest test. Semple Stadium is very open. And if you're playing at 6 in Semple Stadium, you need to be able to command, you know, the pitch and everyone around you. So that's a target point, I think. But they've been building over the last 10 weeks, and they haven't put a foot wrong since that horrendous day against Tip in Semple at the start of June.
Yeah, look, we reel off the players that are missing there, Rachel, earlier in the year, like the amount of players who come off the panel again, when you see the team sheet that was there last round of the months of the the All Ireland round robin series, it's night and day, isn't it? Really, compared to where they were back at the end of the league and the start of Munster.
Oh, it absolutely. And just on that game in Semple in the Munster Championship, like, I think that was the, and again, they will not mind me saying it, that was the worst performance I've seen from a Cork Camogie side in as long as I can remember.
Right.
You know, but fair enough, they were a new side almost playing together, but they also just lacked a little bit of energy. You know, they was almost looking for a leader to stand up and they didn't. That was Saoirse McCarthy's first game back as well after a lengthy injury. So, you know, it's not a negative about any of them in particular. It was just the timing of this group coming together after so many people leaving the panel and nobody probably really knowing their new role in this new look Cork team. And for me, that first game against Galway in the All-Ireland series was like, right, what does this Cork team actually look like? Because they had about 6 weeks of a break after that last to tip. And I think anyone would have excused them if they had a fairly poor All-Ireland series because of the players that they lost. But they didn't feed into that narrative themselves. They showed up. They got one of their first away wins in Acton Rye and made a statement saying, we haven't gone anywhere, lads. You know, we've lost a bucket full of All-Stars, but we're not going anywhere. And most importantly, they kept that going for the next two games. I can't wait to see how this game plays out. I really can't. I was at the game when they played in Parky Ring and Clodagh McIntyre got that point to level it at the end of normal time. And there's something about this tip team, I think, when they're playing Cork. It's a bit of a new enough real rivalry. You know, we always speak about the Cork and Galway, Kilkenny and Cork, Kilkenny and Galway. But I feel like Tip have a bit of a chip in their shoulder about this Cork team. And why wouldn't they? Because they beat them at home in the last round. And they're going to have home support. You've got five girls from Thurles alone on this team. So, like, how special for them. Crucially, all right, losing Caoimhe Maher at six. Heart goes out to her, you know, for that to happen in Croke Park in a quarterfinal. But just for that team themselves, anyone to lose a centre-back, it's huge. Clodagh Quirk did come on in her place, who's just returned from her third ACL injury. So look, is there a real full circle ACL moment there? You don't know. Like, she's got a lot of experience. And I'm pretty sure that Emer McGrath and Caoimhe Staicklin weren't playing in the earlier rounds of the All-Ireland, one with injury and the other doing relieving cert.
And
so
Caoimhe Staicklin was really good the last day. We were watching it from the Hogan Sandbag. She was really, really good.
Oh, yeah, player of the match. Yeah, player of the match in her Croke Park debut in her first season as a senior. And she scored the winning goal against Waterford in the Munster final. And if she didn't have any fear playing in Croke Park, she's not going to have any fear playing in Semple, you know. I'm really excited to see her. I think how they deal with Caoimhe Staicklin would be one of the most important things. And as well, their free count, I think, is going to be huge for this Cork team because they're going to want to be making themselves known. They're going to want to be tenacious in the tackle. But if you foul Tipperary in a scoreable position or even a not scoreable position, Emer McGrath will put that over. Mm. All year, she's been putting them over from beyond her own 65. So they will have to watch that. And it's, you know, it's just something you'd worry about when they're the blood is going and it's all Ireland semi-final day and you want to make a mark and say, we're here now, we're coming to your pitch. So one concern, but I can't wait to see how this one plays out.
Indeed.
Really looking forward to it. And there's a chance for a couple of those Cork players now to stand up and say, I'm a new leader of this team.
Yeah, like if this says, Sarah, Tipper overdue in a semi-final, they just want to get over the line in one of these, which is why I can understand why in Munster earlier this season, they wanted to really go for it, lay down a statement, get a piece of silverware, really go for it in that game against Cork. Rachel and I were sitting beside each other watching the game against Clare, and Tip were really free scoring that day. But the question mark for me would be how much of a step up in performance is required compared to playing Clare that day compared to trying to take down Cork in a semi-final.
I think the Clare game was of benefit to them for the fact that they've lost their three Group 1 games. Okay, you just need a bit of confidence after shipping, you know, three defeats, right? You need a bit of momentum. And I actually think that Clare game was probably the thing that was the best thing that could have happened to Tip, right? Going into a game against Waterford, another battle at a quarterfinal stage, might have expended too much energy. Whereas the Clare game, you're talking about free scoring, you're talking about using the width of Croke Park, you're talking about different players on the score sheet, building confidence. to my mind, that was the perfect, I suppose, interim game for Tip to go in against Cork rather than, you know, an extra time battle like Kilkenny had with Waterford. I just don't think Tip would have had the energy for it based on the three games that had come before. In terms of playing this Cork team, I don't think they should have any fear. This Cork team is a new entity. I know I reeled off a number of names, but I still feel like this Cork team's identity won't be cast until they win this game or beat Galway again. You know what I mean? This team is an unknown entity. And when Rachel was talking to Saoirse McCartan, she was speaking about how negative the dressing room was earlier in the year for the new players. And there was a bit of guilt, Rachel, I understand, from the likes of Saoirse and the likes of Laura Hayes, that these new players who were just coming in were experiencing this real negativity that wasn't to be placed at their door, but it was something they couldn't avoid because the team performances were so poor that it was almost saying, you know, everyone needs to look in the mirror. And these girls are going, but we've barely hooked a ball. You know what I mean? We're so fresh to this. So to that end, I think there is a sense that this Cork team doesn't know as much about themselves as the Tipperary team has. You've mentioned it's 20 years since Tip were in an All-Ireland final. I was playing that day, so that's a very long time ago. Okay. That'll tell you how long ago it is. And I do think over the last 5-6 years, even the Camogie documentary in November, They were so knitted. They were like, I wanted Tip to win last November and I knew the result. Do you know what I mean? So I do think that the stars could align for this Tip team on Saturday. And if they do, no harm.
Yeah. It's all credit, Rachel, to Ross Whittaker and the rest of the team to put the Camogie documentary together. I was the exact same. I had bought into their mission going to Croke Park to try and get to an All-Ireland final when I watched it. And much like Sarah, I knew exactly how the result was going to end. But there was kind of part of me that went, you know what, I now have an insight into the panel. I feel I know a little bit more about Tipperary watching it as well. Like, it's actually, to me, that was one of the brilliant parts about that documentary series.
Oh, absolutely. And Clodagh McIntyre as well, out of that documentary, you can just tell when people are talking about her now, they're like, sure, you know yourself. You know what she's like because she's been inside in your own sitting rooms and that energy that she brought to the screen is the exact energy that she brings to the pitch. They're a real close-knit bunch. I really hope for her own sake and for our sake that we get to see Karen Kennedy. She went off in one of the opening rounds. I think something that looked like a groin injury. Haven't seen her since. Now, look, there was no need to play her in the rest of the round robin series because of that lack of jeopardy that we spoke about. Obviously, she wasn't ready for the Clare game, but it would be great to see her because if you've lost Caoimhe Maher and you've lost Karen, then we've seen Corinne Blair play in midfield this year and it's just been great for her because last year she was drafted back into fullback and even speaking to her, she was like, look, I didn't really love it, but you do what you do for the team. And I hope now that she doesn't have to get dragged back a little bit more because she's so good going forward and she's so effective. Herself and Clodagh would feel like the energy that they have. So for everyone's sake and for the game's sake, I do hope that we get to see Karen even play some kind of part on Saturday. And just on the Clare game as well, I know they shipped like 3 late enough goals to Clare, but I was so impressed with how they put the foot down early on Tipperary. You know, they sensed blood early and it would have been an argument to say, oh, we've been playing at different levels and sometimes you can drop your level if the other team aren't performing, but Tip didn't. And we saw that with Emer McGrath taking a quick free. Like there were a good few scores up at that stage. In Croke Park, audacious, and it's brilliant, you know, emptied the bench then. And look, they did ship a couple of late goals, but I think they were 12 points up at one stage. It was clear that they were going to run away with it. So I was really impressed with that. Not afraid to take their scores. And just two teams that are able to pop the ball over from very far out as well. Like real good strikers of the ball on both of these teams. So I think we should have a really good game.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, that's one of the things, Sarah, there was a clinical edge to Tipperary at Croke Park as well. Maybe it was the open spaces that they were enjoying. Maybe it was just the liberation of getting a win and getting into a good position. But like up until pretty much the final quarter, they were lethal and they were popping scores over from all over the place.
We did a podcast with Joanne Ryan yesterday, the Talking Camogie podcast, and Joanne Ryan mentioned, you know, we brought on five subs and the girls agreed. And she said, you know, when you bring in five subs, that does change the narrative. It, you know, she said, it's not that they've, you know, they disimproved the team, but she said, it's just the pockets of space tend to open a little easier because, you know, different players have gone into those spaces. And she kind of attributed the late kind of scores to potentially that change of guard. And perhaps that was it. You know what I mean? They were so focused. And then obviously they're bringing these new players in and there's an adjustment period, which Claire benefited from. So I suppose the other side of the coin is that those five players now have experience if they do need to come in. So there's no harm in bringing those five players in. If you want to keep the foot in the throat, you don't bring those players in, but then you don't have options come a semi-final if you do need them.
Rachel, I'm not going to let either of you yarrow your way out of this as much as you start talking about, you know, Cork being a new team and so on. The expectation level is going to be fully on Cork to win this game, isn't it?
I don't know, Will. Like, I really don't know. The performances that Tip have given this year have been so strong. And we don't know, because we haven't seen enough of them yet, what Cork team is going to show up. You know, are we going to get the incredible performances that we had in the All-Ireland series? Or you've got a lot of new players coming in that's going to be playing their first knockout game. Like, that is important here. The round robin, it was great to get those wins, but at the end of the day, if you make a mistake, you're going to be going out playing next weekend anyway. So there are a lot of members of that, the starting team now, that probably won't have that experience. And playing in Semple Stadium against Tipperary, tip, I can hear it already in the back of my mind. It's going to be something different for these players. So I don't think that anyone, I've been chatting to a lot of people during the week and they're all kind of saying like, this is a really hard one to call. There's going to be nothing in it because maybe we haven't seen what's coming from this Cork team. Speaking to Saoirse during the week, she was talking about that they've got a good performance coming. I think she said Amy O'Connor has a building performance in her. And you can feel that off a player when they're seeing it in training, much like the Limerick hurlers, you know. We heard a lot about the performance that they were building in. So if we get that performance, I think Cork could scrape it by one. But we don't know if we're going to get that performance or not, you know.
There you go, Sarah. Scrape it by one. Is that what we're expecting out of Cork this weekend? Or are we getting that big performance and we kind of go, yeah, we knew that was exactly what was in them?
I'm gonna say that if Karen Kennedy is in the mix, I think she'll cause Cork problems. If Tip have to line out without Karen, then I think this will be a 4-6 point win for Cork.
Okay. Interesting. I think all of the predictions I've seen so far have been very strong towards Cork. So I am very mindful that you guys might be trying to lull me into this to say it's actually going to be a lot closer than it is. But look, again, it's interesting. I mean, I think the thing as well, Sarah, to the point about tip, is I saw the back of the Nina Guardian yesterday and they had Let's Turn Semple Stadium Blue and Gold for this weekend. So there's a crowd, I think, of around about 10,000 or so expected in. I would think most of those are going to be Tipperary. There's actually a lot of Tipperary people up in Croke Park the last day that I spotted as well who were wearing the blue and gold. And there's probably every incentive for someone close to the stadium, get in and get behind this Tipperary team as they try and make that bit of history.
And the way we talked about the documentary, they'll have seen it too. So if it's your own in a documentary in November, you go, do you know what? They deserve a look. So I'd be hoping that we get a big crowd. The Dublin Kerry ladies football was a very poor turnout, 1,600. That just shows how quickly momentum games can, or, you know, the big games can fall off a cliff in terms of spectatorship. So it'll be lovely to see massive support. And I don't mean lovely, that sounds disingenuous, but what I mean is go out and support the girls. It's €15 for a doubleheader. Like, what value Saturday evening? And I think they're two good times for the games, 4 and 6. So no reason not to go and attend it, but 10,000 is a massive figure and a massive amount of people to want in a stadium, I suppose. Do I think it's ambitious?
A little bit.
When I look at the Dublin Kerry, you know, 1,600 fans, it is a little ambitious, but 6,000 to 7,000 people would be a great turnout too. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking the Camogie Association for trying to aim for 10,000 people, but just with the weekend that's in it and Kerry and Mayo on Sunday and, you know, everything that's happening, perhaps 6,000 to 7,000 people would be a real good shot in terms of the attendance levels.
I think it's a difficult thing, Rachel, when it comes to this, because you know, every effort is made to promote it. Like, you know, we had the Captain's Day, which you were there at Semple Stadium earlier this week ahead of it. It got a nice bit through the newspapers. All of your interviews people can watch for free on our YouTube or listen on podcasts if they want to hear it. But the reality is it does get a little bit sandwiched between the first two or three days of the week end up becoming the fallout from the hurling final, a brilliant Limerick are, et cetera, et cetera. And then straight away you're into Kerry Mayo mode. And a semi-final weekend kind of does get a little bit lost in the shuffle, doesn't it? Like, a few years ago where the seasons weren't necessarily overlapping fully, it felt like Camogie and ladies football maybe got a little bit more traction. But it's a very difficult thing to do to actually promote these when everything else is going on.
It is, and like, credit to them. The Camogie Association are doing a really good job this year, and I think the individual counties as well, they've got all of the graphics up. Like, it's probably my algorithm as well, but you know, I'm getting so many posts from individual counties as well. They've got real good graphics up, and I was actually just taking a look here at the prices. Like, they're very good, you know, adult 15, student, senior citizen 10, and then they've got lots of like family packs, group packs, a family ticket for two adults and two under 16s, €35, do you know? So it is real good value for money. And I think the fact that TIP haven't been in the hurling for so long, you know, that could lead to a huge Tipperary crowd as well. Same for the Cork. I think last year's final, because it was so good, the quality of that Cork and Galway game, people, that's probably too harsh to say, they've been more of appreciation, but maybe people who would never have tuned in before and said like, this is the standard of Camogie, this is what I want to be seeing. I know there is definitely a conversation in the split season not being of value to the All-Ireland finals for the ladies football and the Camogie, but look, at the end of the day, we're going to have two cracking games on Saturday. You know, I'd rather be talking about the games themselves and the quality of them, because I do think we're going to be in for two good ones. And yeah, look, I suppose if Tipper sending out that message, the other counties will be sending out their messages as well. You know, it'll be a short spin over from Kilkenny and to Cork, and Galway have a strong following as well after that win last year.
No, for sure. It's a perfect venue, really, for all four counties down to the home of hurling this weekend. So Galway, Kilkenny, 4 o'clock Saturday, and Cork and Tipperary, 6 p.m. Both the games are on the telly as well, so looking forward to them already this weekend. Rachel, Sarah, thanks a million.
Thanks.
Cheers.